This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:07, Friday, the 12th of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. In front of me is Keith Kam and I'm Wong Shao Ning. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Evan Ng. He's an energy market analyst on Malaysia's zero carbon targets and also how we stack up against the rest of the world. But let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yeah, on Wall Street, it looks like there's been a bit of a profit-taking situation following up from the previous day's 1-2% jump because of the inflation numbers. Earlier this morning, the Dow closed up 0.1%. The S&P 500 was down 0.1%. The Nasdaq was down 0.6%. Early in the day, however, Asian markets were way higher because of what happened on Wall Street the day before, if you can follow me. the Nikkei was, however...
Keep up, people.
The Nikkei was, however, closed because of something called Mountain Day. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 2.4%. Shanghai's composite was up 1.6%. Singapore's STI was up 0.5%. Back home, the FBM KLCI closed 0.9% higher.
So for some indication on where global markets are heading, we speak to Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited. Good morning, Tim. Like what my colleague Keith just said a moment ago, stocks return all the week's earlier gains after the cooler inflation figures. Why are markets so volatile? Help us make sense of this, please.
Well, I mean, you're talking about 1 month's data, and, you know, even the CPI number and PPI, but let's take CPI. 8.5% year-over-year versus 9.1. That's nothing to really write home about. And with energy, with oil prices breaking, and oil prices are on the move back up again, and I think energy prices are going to stay firm and probably saw a low, and you're probably going to see a rally. So that, what I want to say is the core and structural parts of this inflation, I think, are with us and are going to be pretty high. Even if it goes back to 6%, that's not a good thing. And, you know, I think the Fed's going to, you know, maybe on the rate side, they're going to be finished pretty soon, but they've got a lot of work to do on the balance sheet, in my view, if they want to really get prices under control. And they haven't really done that yet.
Tim, you said 8.5% is not really something to write home about. What would be something, what would something more convincing be?
Well, I mean, if we would, every month we would be trending down and the core would be trending down. You've had this peak. I mean, that's the first time it decelerated, what, in over a year? I think, or more. So, I mean, you need to see a little trend of that happening. And, I guess if you have a big recession here, major recession, which doesn't look like it's immediate, but, you know, that would probably do on the demand side. But let's look at if even the inflation number and look what they did with this this inflation bill, anti-inflation bill, I'll call it. You know, what they're doing is they're going to spend more money, right? They're going to spend more money in the economy, which they don't really need, and they're going to raise taxes on business. So I think it's more, you know, kind of ridiculous policies that aren't really in tune with what's happening.
But at the same time, I've read reports about this bill exactly, Tim, where it says that it's not going to be inflationary and because the spending is going to be over a long period of time and it's necessary for the U.S. economy. You don't agree with that hypothesis?
I think they should support things. What I don't like is how the government's going to be picking and choosing winners, though, and how they're allocating these funds. And there is money that's going to go. It's going to be a net spend, net positive spend. So maybe it's not going to be $1.4 trillion or $1.9 trillion again, but that's not what you really need. And you're not taking reserves out of the system. So the conditions for inflation, in my view, are still there and still present. So I'm not ready yet. And I do think this mirrors the same, similar. In fact, this was not unexpected. I figured they were going to do this the same transitory folks are now talking about, okay, see, here it comes, because they're not admitting they were wrong, I don't think. And I don't think people really believe inflation is sticky. So, I mean, that's at least my take of it. So I would still say this is a bear market rally, similar to the one we saw back in 2000. So I think you're getting up to a point where, look, at a 50% retrace of the down move, and here we are with this news. Let's see what happens. I'm not saying it can't be true, but I'm not going to bet that way.
Still on inflation, Tim, investors are looking at it as if it's less severe than expected. And major tech stocks like Meta and Netflix, they did see some mild recovery. What is your outlook on a high growth sector like tech in the coming months?
Well, people want to believe inflation is going to come down. Okay, so I think, and given the bond yields when they broke, you know, from 350 to what, 260 handle, and now they're back up pressing 290 again. But I think what that did for the growth, which was beaten down pretty badly here, I think it just was one of those relief rallies. But you still look at the NASDAQ in general, and I have a hard time getting bullish on that chart.
Staying on the theme of tech, the war between streaming giants Netflix and Disney Plus has ramped up, with the latter raising prices by 38%. What's behind Disney's strategy in doing so, and who do you think will win the war, or for this for subscribers?
Well, I'm not so sure of the strategy of Disney, and I don't have a lot of confidence in their top management as I did, you know.
But the results weren't too bad, right? That just came out. The parks have done much better than expected.
Yeah, the parks, because of the, you know, people traveling and so forth. That's to be expected. But now we're talking a different game here with the streaming. You know, and they definitely have a library. There's no question about it. They'll do well. But I think on balance, I think Netflix is a little better management. And also Netflix is going to be, for the first time, looking at advertising, which they were steadfastly against. Now they're going to do that. So, you know, it's going to be it's a tough one. And Disney's very formal. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying Disney's not a good stock. I think a long-term holding for a company. But in the streaming end of it, I'm not so sure I'm going to bet with them.
And another asset class I want to look at, or at least another sector, is the real estate investment trust, or REITs. Now, how do you think they'll perform in this rate hike cycle by the Feds? I mean, in the past, they were seen as very defensive.
Yeah, and I think they're still looked that way, you know, but there's so many different types of REITs, you know. Like, there's one I've owned for a while, no longer, by the way, which is Weyerhaeuser, Timber REIT. You know, it was just people maybe didn't realize that. Then you got these hospital REITs, which I think are a little bit interesting. And then you've got, you know, REITs, you know, you've got the, you know, rent, the office space and different types. So I'm not the expert in REITs, but I think on balance, the ones that could give you the real asset play, if you will, and if they could have, I think that those are the ones. But, you know, with the higher interest rates, I think interest rates are still in long end. I think are still probably looking to trend higher. So, I mean, I'm not willing to back away from defensive, but I don't consider REITs really all that defensive as maybe many others do.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, telling us what to expect for the coming weeks ahead. And looks like that he's not such a big tech bull at this moment, right?
He's also not very convinced about the CPI numbers.
No, 8.5%. Still very high, considering the Fed target is supposed to be 2%. But very quickly, electric vehicle maker Rivian announced its second quarter results, which was higher than Wall Street expectations, despite an adjusted loss per share of $1.62 versus an expected adjusted loss of $1.63. Their net loss for the quarter was only $1.7 billion.
Only.
Street still likes it. 11 buys, 5 holds, 2 sells. Consensus target price for this stock, $50.67. I think everybody just loves it because it's a tech name, right? Sexy at the moment.
It's sexy. But electric vehicle, yeah.
Let's see. But we've got a quick message for you. Businesses are increasingly adopting more and more digital initiatives to grow their customer base. However, this also opens up the risk of security breaches that can end up being very costly.
So find out how you can engage the help of experts in the field when I will be talking to technologist Dr. Syed Abdullah Syed Al Idrus, the General Manager of Cybersecurity Services at TM1 Telecom Malaysia Berhad, today at 7:35 a.m. only on BFM 89.9.
Next, we'll be speaking to Stephen Chang of Samantha on local youth entrepreneurship. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.